Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious and victorious day it is. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I and you should rejoice. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Do you not know, if you've been keeping up with the chronological measurement of time, it is Sunday. Yes, it is. November the 29th, 2020, and we're joining in with the manna of restoration, giving raise to the praise, and no better way to do it but to go all the way back down memory lane to 1980 and get this noteworthy song of praise by Keith Pringle and the illustrious Mass Choir saying, you know what? I just can't stop praising his name. Do you confess him? Do you possess salvation? Well, why don't you call him up? And if you believe on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, why don't you just call him up and tell him what you want? And on a higher level, just give him that word of praise. Because, see, God dwells in the midst of praises. Yes, he does. And when we exalt his name, he promotes us to that next level in an expeditious fashion. Oh, yes. Even though sometimes you stumble, even though sometimes you fall, just call him up and tell him all about it. And God is nigh to answer your call. Oh, I just can't stop. Can you stop praising his name? Because he's worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of all praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. praising his name, that praise should ever be present in your heart, in your mind, and circumventing through your the praise unto the Lord, because you know that he's worthy. Just look where he brought you and where he brought me from. He brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light, this glorious and victorious light of his joy, of his strength, of his miracle-working power, and of his presence. Oh, yes, let's keep on praising God in song. This is the Florida Mass Choir along with Minister Keith Pringle. Oh, yes, taking us back down memory lane about praising the name of the Lord. All praise his holy name. When we sit back and we think about all of the marvelous things that God does for us and how he lifts us up out of the very essence of trouble, how he raises us up and gives us the victory over every situation in our lives. What a wonderful, wonderful anointing comes forth, because we all know that it is the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. And there are so many yokes that are present and prevalent today that needs to be broken. Well, let me tell you something. Let's go back to the very essence of our salvation. Our salvation is in God, upon the rock, the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our Savior, our Messiah, our High Priest, our Mediator. And it's through him that we have access to God the Father. And because we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, we must continually seek his knowledge, seek his peace, seek his presence. Because the more that we seek God's presence, the more prevalent and present he will be in our lives. And just be encouraged today. That song of praise is just to refresh you, to revitalize, to renew your confidence in God. We know that there's a lot going on in the world, but our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, told us that when we see these things, that we're not to become shaken in faith. Know that the hour is coming of his second appearing. And this is what we need to focus on. Don't fall in love with what's going on as far as it relates to people in the world. It's wonderful to celebrate the accomplishments of others. There's nothing wrong with that. We should admonish those who are laboring for righteousness' sake, who are doing the deeds, bearing the fruits of righteousness. We need to do that. But don't ever divert your focus and your attention and your affection from the essence of God, God's presence, God's force, God's ability, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence should always be the focus of our life and pleasing him. And in pleasing him, he said, you know what? We would receive the blessings of Abraham. We would have victory over the circumstances and situations in our lives. He would keep us healthy. He would keep us well. He would prosper us in all that we do, that he would destroy the opposition of forces that come against us, and that no weapon formed against us would prosper. That's right, because when God has blessed you, no man, no woman can curse you. God will remove them from you, and you will have to be the one to pray their deliverance. That's why it's so important to establish that relationship with God and establishing that relationship with God, you know that you're on the right track. You know that you're on the right path that's going to lead to a wonderful and glorious life. And he didn't say that he was going to give us all these wonderful gifts and these benefits and take us straight to heaven. He said, no, we're going to live on this earth and be that living testimony that when men are casted down, they would look at us and say, you know what? There is lifting up. Why? Through our testimony, through our prosperity, through our wellness, through our capacity, through the fruits that we bear, everything that we have, our excellent health, our right mind, our stability, our prosperity, our success validates the existence of God. Through Jesus Christ, the authority that God gives us is through him. And thing that we have is through him. And this is why God wants us to live abundantly many, many, many years upon this earth so we can validate his existence. We are deemed as God's earthly ambassadors, his goodwill envoys. That's right. So that we may draw men unto him, not unto us, but unto him. And what better way for them to see us and see a reflection of God's greatness within us? That's right. That's why the scriptures give validation to the fact, Apostle Paul even said it, we are living epistles being read of men daily. Ask yourself, as I often ask myself, what is my report reflecting? God's greatness, his omniscience, his omnipotence and his omnipresence in my life, or is it reflecting me? Because if it's just reflecting me as a person, I got a lot of work to do. And don't get discouraged, as I've not become discouraged, because I know that I am a work in progress. And sometimes in being a work in progress, there's certain things that we have to contend with. That's why there's certain things that we have to address, because God must receive the glory from all that we do. And we're not holier than thou. We're not considering ourselves to be all-knowing. Oh, no, we're not. We are women and men who are seeking the truth so that we can lead others to the truth by way of testament, by way of profession and possession of truth. And Jesus told us, he said, you know what? You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he that the Son has set free is free indeed. That means in every aspect of your life. You want liberation? You want empowerment? Seek God's presence, his knowledge. That's right. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But see, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Because it shows them up. And it shows them out. It shows them the error of their ways. And they become stagnant. They become disenfranchised and angry because of the truth. Sometimes the truth does somewhat ruffle our feathers, but nevertheless, we accept it, as the old idiom used to say, you take it with a grain of sugar and you keep it going. That's why some of the most potent and effective medicines of the apothecary is bitter, it's asinine. But nevertheless, when you consider the benefits of taking that magical elixir, as so many refer to as the apothecary's methodology of wellness, it will benefit you in the long run. That's right. The best cures are oftentimes the most bitter remedies. That's right. The best cures are sometimes the most bitter remedies. And if you're like me and you're into the way of wellness and holistic balance in your life, and you're getting into the nutrients, the supplements, and the minerals, some of those things that we ingest are not very appeasing to the palate. The taste factor is literally non-existent, is tasteless. In some ways, it's almost disgusting. But when we consider the benefits in our health, in the mannerism of our our psychosis, the way that our mind, is able to function at a higher level of optimal capacity, that we're able to have the physical inertia and endurance to go through the day without getting tired, then we know that it's worth the work that we're putting in because it's benefiting us in the long run. And this is what having a relationship with God does. It benefits you in the here and now, and it will benefit you in the future. And in continually, you will see the evolutionary process of your life being changed. And so we just thank God today and just giving raise to the praise. I know sometimes we get busy, those of us who are really ascribing to do what thus saith the Lord God, and we get so bogged down. We get so overwhelmed with other things, other obligations. We must take time. We must reserve time to give God praise, not only on the Sunday factor of things. No, the world does that. The world goes out and projects an image of piety and righteousness on Sunday. No, this needs to be done each and every day. We need to reserve time out just to say, thank you, Father God. Just thank you for being God, and beside you, there is none other. Father God, I just thank you for being my Savior, my keeper, my protector, my friend, my companion, my everything, my all in all. I just thank you for being God. And we just need to do that every day. Don't wait till Sunday. No, do it every day. And just watch the positive things that will be imputed into your life, into your spirit. And when you're blessed, you can be a blessing to others. You know, when we prosper, we can help others to prosper. When we gain momentum of wealth, we can help enrich the lives of others. See, this is an evolutionary cycle of progression. That's right, of action, then reaction, action and reaction. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a wonderful life because so many people have been left in the dark. They have become programmed with vain religiosity that has told them, well, if you don't have anything and, you know, and you're down now, this is what gets God's attention. No. Apostle Paul, he says, beloved, he's giving witness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was rich and he knew no poverty, but he became impoverished for our sake so that we could gain his wealth. Apostle Paul, being the second in command of the apostles, he said, beloved, I would that you prosper in all things, not some things, but in all things and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. So let me tell you something. In order to do that, we need to be on channeled in on the right frequency to receive those benefits of serving God, of doing what thus saith the Lord. And you know what? And those benefits are never ending. They are perpetual and in a continuum so that we will be sustained even when men are casted down. The people are talking about the broken economy. God's people will be kept. We will be kept and provided for because he is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, and oh, does he provide. Just look at the testimony, as we'll get into at some point or another with the manner of restoration about the children of Israel. They were in the midst of Egypt. But guess what? None of them were afflicted. They had no diseases. They had no illnesses. Their clothing did not wear out. They did not tire. They did not wear out the bottom of their shoes. And God even fed them in the midst of their enemies. And remember what King David said? Thou preparest a table before me in the 23rd division of Psalm. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. A table is the spread of God's favor, divine favor, his blessings. He says, in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest, and on top of blessing and prospering me, you pour the oil of your anointing, your refreshing, your revitalization upon me. And my cup runneth over me, so I get so full when I think about all that you've done for me and are continuing to do for me. I just can't say enough. He said, you know what? Because he done all that for him, what did he say? Do you remember that psalm? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He means I'm going to remain faithful to you and call on your name continually. Amen. And that is what we need to do. Call on his name. That's right. Because the more that you call on his name, the more he will respond to you. That's right. He will do that. And I just want you to take time out and just raise your hands and lift your hands unto heaven and just say, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Just thank you for being God. And beside you, there is none other. There is none other. There is none other. Oh, no, there is none other. And I think that this lady, Tessie Hill, puts it all together in a way that we all can relate to when she said, you know what, Lord, you just keep on doing great things for me. And let me tell you something. I appreciate everything that God does for me. And let's just sing along with Miss Tessie Hill, Madam Tessie Hill, saying, he just keeps doing great things for me. Doing great things for me, and he keeps on doing great things for you too. Just take time and reflect upon some of the great things that God has done, is done, and will continue to do for you and for me. That song is a song of praise, and it's also a testimony. They just don't sing songs with the attitude of gratitude like they once did back in those days. Because, see, people went through the storm. That's why they went through the storm back in those days, and they knew that the only shelter, the only umbrella they had to shelter them from the storm and protect them from the fierceness of the rain was God's presence in their life. We need to go back to the endearing factor of serving God as opposed to serving man. And songs that reflect the trueness of God's presence is what we need to listen to. That's right, because he does keep doing great things for us. And we praise God for you here on the Manna of Restoration, giving raise to the praise once again on this Sunday. That's right, Sunday, November 29th, 2020, a time that God is showing himself large and in charge. And we're just giving honor to him today and to honor to all of you who have tuned in. It's been a long while, but nevertheless, we're coming back at you. That's right, with the powerful word of God to inspire you, to anoint you, to instruct you, and to give you the encouragement that you need at this day and time. And we're going to keep on coming back. That's right, and giving praise to his name. Very quickly, if you would go with me to the 112th division of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book and collection of poems, songs, and exaltations just unto God through David and through Nathan and through various other contributors. The theme of Psalms is acknowledging God and giving praise unto him who is the only wise God, and unto him regarding his instruction unto mankind, acknowledging that God is the source and the resource of all that we are and all that we hope to be. The book of Psalms gives us all these things. It gives us the poetic exposés. It gives us the songs of Zion. It gives us the Psalms of praise and restoration and revitalization. It gives us the confessions. That's right. It gives us everything that we need. And it's actually the longest book in the Bible. That's right. 150 strong. That's right. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Again, get your Bibles out. Psalms 112, and I just read the first verse. Here, David is saying, give thanks unto the Lord. Blessed. Favor. See, blessed means favored. You're acknowledged and you're favored. It's the man that feareth the Lord. And you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It doesn't talk about being afraid of God. Oh, God may strike me down. I said something wrong. Oh, God is going to punish me because I did something wrong. No, this fear is a reverent fear. God is the only one in Jesus Christ who is to be reverenced. We don't give that entitlement to any man or any woman. We are born of the flesh. We do not merit the title of being a reverend. We reverend God. That means we respect him. So to the point that we don't want to do anything to offend him. But he knows that we are of the flesh. And because we are, we're subject to failure. We're subject to fall. We're subject to mishap. And then when we fall short, the scripture tells us if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is just to forgive us. And he won't hold it against us. When God says it's forgiven, no man can condemn you. What God has clean, no man can call unclean. So to acknowledge and give awe, reverence, and fear to the Lord that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That means we rejoice in God's word. God tells us what the destiny of our enemies is going to be. He lets us know no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He lets us know that if we seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, he will add the benefits, the blessings of Abraham into our households, into our families, into our lives. If we walk in the way of righteousness, he's already let us know that. The second verse says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That means that God will prosper us and prosper our offspring. Our children may stray off, mothers. You know, many of you have prayed about your children going in an adverse way. Many of your grandmothers have prayed for their grandchildren. Many aunts have prayed for their nieces and nephews. Even cousins and sisters and have prayed for their families, have prayed for their offspring to come back to the fold. Well, you know something? Because of your prayers, God will respond and will gain the attention of that person whom you pray for. That's right. And sometimes they're not even your biological association. Sometimes it's a familiarity, someone you've come in contact with, and you know they're having a struggling time walking in the faith and being obedient in all of this, and you're praying for them. Well, God will answer your prayer when you acknowledge him as being God, when you respect him as being God. I've never seen, and I'm just saying this, such a generation of people that are so un-God-fearing. You know, they use his name in vain. They said, I didn't say it, but you said it close enough, and that's disrespectful. And they just make jokes about God. It is shameful. It is abhorring to see this behavior. But see, we can't just speak out about it. We have to lift up a standard against these behaviors by being proactive and not supporting individuals who would stoop to that level to disrespect the name of God. Because if they disrespect God, he's our Heavenly Father, what more will they say against us? What more will they do to try to diminish us as believers? We should have no fellowship with the workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. Instead of supporting them, reprove them. I know many of you said, but he's a good actor. But no, if his actions and his statements are conclusive of disharmonizing language against the very presence of God, dismiss him. If your favorite star, your actress, does the same thing, you need to dismiss her. The problem is that too many of us have begun to compromise our stature in who we are and what we believe and where we stand. And as a result, we become just like the world. Well, we can't be like them. We have to come out from amongst them. Maybe many days that we're lonely, we're feeling abandoned and abated, but nevertheless, Jesus is a friend that will stick closer than any brother. And you know what? We will just have to sit alone until God says otherwise and sends us those who reflect the same mindset as we do. But we're not to compromise who we are to be a part of them. Instead, we must be more a part of him. Wealth and riches. Someone said the quick way to prosperity, the quick way to wealth and riches. Here it is. Here's the secret revealed. Shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Let's go back. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. This is God's promise being restored within us, imputed within me, within you, for acknowledging him, to recognizing him, respecting him, and walking in the ways of righteousness. He said, wealth and riches shall be in our house. That means we call on him, and he will answer us. If we desire and we need, he will give us. That's right. He will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord our God, and he changes not. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. That means to those of us who are seeking the knowledge of the truth and to please God, we're not putting on a show. We're not putting on a false face. We are who they are. God is not concerned with me wearing clothing down to the floor, covering up my head and my neck and all of my body. No, the righteousness, the holiness that we're projecting and what God wants is from within our beings, within our inner man. There needs to be an exchanging of the inner man, an interfacing, an intertwining the Holy Spirit into our human psyche that translates us, that literally evolves us into being saints. That's right. We're graduated into sainthood. We're not saints starting off. We're believers. We're newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word that we can grow, that we can grow, that we can be nurtured so that we can expand and expound, so that the growth factor becomes apparent and evident. This is what the power of the word of God and acknowledging in the power of the Holy Spirit does for us. We mature. And our light shines. We don't have to say we're believers. We don't have to say who we are. Our reflection shows who we are, and others must acknowledge us, whether they like us or not. God said in his word that a man's ways please him. He will cause his enemies to be at peace with him. That means they might not like us, but they can't do anything about us, and they can't do anything to us because the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them. So therefore, in pleasing God, let them go to the soothsayers. Let them go to the witchcraft workers. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And you know what will happen? What they tried to plan for us, God will let it go twofold upon them. You know what the scripture said? He said, "You will, your enemy will seek you in one way, and they will flee from you in seven ways." And seven represents the completeness of God's presence. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That means that an humble believer will walk carefully and treat others carefully, knowing what God has brought him and brought her from, and realizing that because of the frailty of the human nature, you know, if the wrong attitude is taken, their path of progression could quickly detour back to where they came from. So we are humbled at this, and therefore we know how to treat as well as entreat others because what God is watching. Sixth verse, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. What is our writer saying? He's saying that the righteousness of those who walk the path, that walk the walk as they talk the talk and ascribe to do what is right, will always be kept, even when others are sitting back and waiting for them or us to fall, waiting for us to fail. We will always be provided for. We will always be kept. We will always be protected. We will always receive the best that God has to offer. The seventh verse said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That means don't get upset. Don't get upset and afraid and mad and want to stomp somebody because people don't treat you the way you treat them. Don't get all out of your character to get with them because they tried to misrepresent you or talk down to you. Some people do that as a way of asserting their insecurities, that your presence makes them feel absent. Your security and confidence makes them feel insignificant, insecure, makes them feel inept. It makes them feel some kind of way, and the enemy uses them as a tool to try to persecute you in a way of attacking your character. The Lord told us that we held our peace, and he would fight the battle, and he would give us the victory. Because sometimes God just wants to show others who you are, but you need to step back. And this is, I've learned to step back and let him do it. As God spoke to Moses, as Moses was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I know sometimes we get impatient. It is the era of human nature. We want to move forward. We want to do it right then. I want to go say that right then. I want to go there. But God is telling us, stand still. And first of all, and know that I am God. Then he tells us to stand still and see his salvation. Sometimes the salvation is a progressive movement. It's a timely-based reaction. Maybe God is dealing with that person as he's fixing you. He's fixing that person as he's dealing with you. You know, and God is establishing this, and we just have to learn to wait. So many women I've heard say, well, I just got to have me somebody. I want to get married, and I want to find me a husband. The scripture tells us that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, not she that findeth a husband findeth a good thing. No, you're not. That is not your place. It is not your place. You have to be patient and allow God to work the process for you because it will be substantial. It will be ideal when God does the work for you. He said his heart is fixed trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he should not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. You know, the worst type of person that opposes you is a frenemy. A frenemy is that person that pretends to be a friend, and they sit up under you to gather information to see where you're coming from, what you got, so they can try to circumvent and get to people in authority so they can get what you got at the expense of your presence. But see, that's a lie, because see, what God gave me and what God gave you, no man can have it. Because why? God independently so established you for greatness and designed you for that parallel of excellence in your life. It's not ascribed for anybody else. Your gifts and your talents are for you to glorify God. And my gifts and talents that God gave me are to glorify God. Nobody can sidetrack or undermine our talents to try to get ahead, because as the scripture has spake, that's right, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in that way there are the ways of death. Let them think they're getting over like Rover. You know, let them think they're getting a chat like the fat cat. And God will stop them every time. There is no stopping God's people. And when you walk in the ways of righteousness, and when you cry out, God hears your cry, and he answers your cry, as he is answering my cry and will continue to do so, as he will continue to do so with you as well. Says he have dispersed what he hath to the poor. We're to give to those who don't have. That's right. I don't care what anybody says, you foolish, you this, you that. No, consider where God brought us from. And that is enough testimony for me, and it should be enough testimony for you. That's why we have to do this in remembrance of him, in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We have to help those who are in need, because he told us the poor we'll have with us always. It's going to be some people who are always going to lack. But see, God makes us rich or wealthy so that we can administer to their needs, not so that we can sit out there on a yacht on the French Riviera. There's nothing wrong with that as a reward system. But our focus should not be on gaining materiality and gaining the rapport and the admiration of others. Our enhancement should be doing what thus saith the Lord, bearing fruits. That's right. I'd rather live 110 good years on this earth and be at moderate income level, moderate lifestyle, than to be filthy rich and live half of that. No. God wants us to have longevity. God wants us to have wellness. He wants us to have prosperity. He wants us to have riches, but we need to know how to disperse those riches. Because, see, wealth comes before riches. That's right. Your wealth, you have the ability to produce. That's right. And accumulation. That's right. You have the ability. But, see, being rich means that you have the accumulation in excess. We're going to go into those teachings much later on this year and next year. We're going to be teaching the truth about prosperity and how the circle evolves in a way that everyone who fits the description, the narrative of the script, falls in line with that particular beneficial area in their life. Now, he says, his righteousness endureth forever. His honor shall be exalted with honor. That's right. Jesus told us, when we do our alms, he's our Lord. We listen to him. He says, do it in secret. He said, and do it quietly. He says, so he that seeth you in secret will reward you publicly. No, you don't do your deeds publicly so that people can say, look what she gave, look what he gave. You're doing it for the witness and the honor of men. God's not glorified in that way. He's glorified when we do it in secret. He receives the very epitome of your greatness toward him, of your acknowledgement toward him, when you do it quietly and in private. And so with all these benefits that we receive, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Let people talk about you. Let them say, oh, she thinks she's better than anybody. He thinks he's better than anybody. They're always by themselves. They don't never talk about going out there and having a good time. They don't never talk about doing this and doing that. They're so different. I don't like them. Let them talk. As one stated, let the haters talk and then let the haters walk. Because they're carrying that negative energy with them, and that negative energy is going to pull all kinds of wickedness into the vortex of their environment. So don't trouble yourself about people talking about you. Sometimes the worst enemies you have are those who are sitting in your immediate circle and even sometimes in your family. And Jesus told us that sometimes that the man's enemy will be that of his own household. Everything he taught us has already come to pass, and we just better continually watch the signs and observe the truth. So the very essence of our existence is to give praise unto God for all that he has done. You need more. You desire more. Praise God more. Acknowledge him more. Spend more time with him because he is our Heavenly Father, and he delights in our giving him praise. This is your host. That's right, your teacher, Abby Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, also known as the Esquire. But besides all that, I am a student in God's spiritual classroom, just as you are a student in God's spiritual classroom. And we're here to learn from each other, from the master teacher, Jesus Christ, who taught the disciples how to walk in the ways of empowerment, to walk in the ways of prosperity, to walk in the ways of greatness, and at the same time, humility, because without humility, we cannot experience the height, the depth, and the breath of God. And we're going to keep on evolving together. I love you much, and we'll see you again next week. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that through Christ, I can do and you can do all things. And let those miracles continue on as we get raised to the praise. We'll see you next week. Be blessed. Thank you.